As we journeyed through the season of the High Holidays and the third pilgrimage feast, Sukkot, our attention has been drawn to Torah. Each time we meet, we read and discuss aspects of Torah. However, very seldom do we delve into the beauty and the magnificent coherence in this book of life instructions, authored by Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua, and penned by Avinu Moshe, our father Moshe, the prophets and kings, and his Shaliach, his apostles. The question has been asked, why is he asking for this message today, given I have spoken about Torah often through his messages? I ask you to look around the room at the number of people who are here today who were not here in previous years. In his message to us today, he wishes us to once more explore the basic tenets of Messianic Judaism. And today, we begin with an understanding of Torah, at least at the surface level, and realize how important this holy, set-apart document is for all believers. Abba Father, I pray for your guidance as we explore Torah, your life instructions for us, and attempt to gain an appreciation of its beauty and of its magnificence. In your beloved name we pray. Amen. David HaMelech, King David, has shared with us his perceptions of God's life instructions, what we might call our owner's manual, leading and guiding us along the narrow path of Emunah, trust in action. Listen to David's praise of Torah, found in Psalm 119. Each night, the beginning of the new day, Israel's king would arise and contemplate the events of the day through the lens of Torah. Then he would write his reflections, a few lines at a time. Listen to the following. I thought about my ways and turned my feet toward your instruction. I hurry, I don't delay to observe your mitzvot. Even when the cords of the wicked close around me, I don't forget your Torah. I find King David's situation so inspiring. Throughout his younger life, he took for granted Adonai Elohim was the creator of the universe, whose promise to protect and love was a guarantee. Here is a perfect example of what I mean, found in 1 Samuel 17. Your servant has defeated both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Plishti will be like one of them, because he has challenged the armies of the living God. This is Emunah, trust in action, moving forward with the full assurance of Jehovah's promises in front, leading the charge. Then, when he became king, David strayed away from Jehovah's instructions and fell into the clutches of sin. He lied, he stole, he murdered, just to satisfy his human lusts. What fascinates me is Elohim's response to his errant servant when he realizes his sinful nature and the extent of the damage caused. Through his confession and repentance, David remained a beloved child of Jehovah, even though he was required to face the consequences of his sinful acts, consequences which saw him fall from power and die without his family around him. But throughout these desolate years, David clung to Jehovah's word, as evident in his last Psalms. The Spirit of Adonai spoke through me, his word was on my tongue. The God of Yisrael spoke. The Rock of Yisrael said to me, a ruler over people must be upright, ruling in the fear of God, like the morning light at sunrise on a cloudless day that makes the grass on the earth sparkle after a rain. For my house stands firm with God. He made an everlasting covenant with me, as we read in 2 Samuel 23. But lest this message becomes more focused on David and on his love, let's return to the beauty of Torah. Before we go further, I want to examine precisely what Torah is. Perhaps precisely is the wrong word to use, as there are as many definitions of Torah as there are translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. First, then, a clear description is essential. As those who have enrolled in the Hayasod program know, Torah derives from the Hebrew yare, a verb which has the meaning of shooting an arrow to hit a mark. Thus, Torah means to hit the mark with instruction, teaching, and commandments. The opposite of yare is chata, another Hebrew word meaning to miss the mark, or sin. The Torah used by Rabbinic Judaism in the synagogues consists of the five books of Moshe, Bereshit, in the beginning, or Genesis, Shemot, names, or Exodus, Vayikra, he called, or Leviticus, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, or Numbers, and Devarim, the words, Deuteronomy. Although not technically considered Torah by rabbinic rabbis, Nevi'im, the prophets, and Ketuvim, the writings, are considered loosely to be Torah, as the writings explain the deeper understandings of Torah, and the prophets urge and sometimes chastise those who have pulled away from Torah. Then there is the oral Torah. Followers of Rabbinic Judaism perceive the Talmud, consisting of the Mishnah, or rulings of the rabbis, and Gemara, the arguments and debates from which the rulings were derived, of equal weight and possibly of greater importance than they do the Torah. According to Rambam, the revered Spanish Sephardic rabbi of the 12th century, if there are 1,000 prophets, all of them of the stature of Elijah and Elisha, giving a certain interpretation, and 1,000 rabbis giving the opposite interpretation, you shall incline after the majority, and the law is according to the 1,001 rabbis, not according to the 1,000 venerable prophets. Elohim did not permit us to learn from the prophets, only from the rabbis, who are men of logic and reason. Thus, Rabbinic Judaism has taken the position of majority rule regarding how we are to live a godly life. I will leave you to sort out that opinion. However, as a guide for you in this reflective process, I present to you Adonai Yeshua's own words as he faced the Pharisees with their tradition of following the rulings of Mishnah rather than the rulings of Jehovah. As we read in Mark 7, "You depart from God's command and hold on to human tradition. Indeed," he said to them, "you have made a fine art of departing from God's command in order to keep your tradition." I'm sure you can see the flaw in this understanding of the rule by majority, even if they are men of logic and reason. We have been shown how easy it is for men of logic and reason to be seduced into following evil. And we know many millions of believers will be so seduced by evil when the anti-Messiah shortly begins his campaign of sweet evil. What do we Messianic believers, Jew and Gentile, hold to be Torah? Certainly we accept the five books of Moshe as the anchor of Torah, being grounded in the Aseret HaDibarot, the 10 words or the 10 commandments, given to our people, Israelites and Gentiles, at the base of Mount Sinai. We know there are many commandments we are not permitted to follow by virtue of our not being Levites or Kohanim, nor can we follow many of the mitzvot, the instructions, since the temple has been destroyed and we are not living in Israel. So what is left for us to follow? Quite a bit, as a matter of fact. First, we are urged to follow all the moral instructions of Torah. These are what give us our ethical base. For example, the instruction, if as you are walking along you happen to see a bird's nest in a tree or on the ground with chicks and eggs, and the mother bird is sitting on the chicks or the eggs, you are not to take the mother with the chicks. You must let the mother go, but you may take the chicks for yourself. This provides for us a teaching in sensitivity for the feelings and needs of others and for the assurance of perpetuation of species. And the teaching, you are not to watch your brother's ox or sheep straying and behave as if you hadn't seen it. You must bring them back to your brother, provides for us a lesson in the larger instruction to show love to your neighbor. Then we come to the teachings of Adonai Yeshua, who gave us the two general instructions we are to follow. You are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself, as we read in Luke 10. However, as we know, Adonai Yeshua clearly outlined this teaching for us in both Deuteronomy 6, the Shema we chanted this morning and every Shabbat, and in Leviticus 19, verse 18. Don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai. As you read through the apostolic scriptures, you may have noticed every teaching Adonai Yeshua first provided originated from the Hebrew scriptures. What did he teach us that was new then? Adonai Yeshua did precisely what he said was his purpose in Matthew 5, when he said, "Don't think I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete." It is important to understand the exact purpose of his teaching, which was to fulfill Torah. To understand the meaning of fulfill in this context, we need to examine the Greek. In the interlinear Greek text, we read the word pleru, meaning, among other things, fill to individual capacity, to make complete, to preach fully, and other meanings along this vein. We see this exemplified further in Matthew 5, where it is written, "You have heard that our fathers were told, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that a man who even looks at a woman with the purpose of lusting after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." This, to me, is a perfect example of pleru, making the message of Torah clear and unequivocal. The accusation has been raised many times. Those who follow Torah are engaged in legalism, since grace has canceled the law. Now, those who make this claim do not specifically use the phrase law of God, since they know that would be perceived as blasphemy. However, what they do say is grace has canceled the law. I love how Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, has responded to this claim in Romans 3. Does it follow that we abolish Torah by this trusting? Heaven forbid. On the contrary, we confirm Torah. And in Romans 7, we read, "So the Torah is holy, that is, the commandment is holy, just and good." And further into Romans 7, "For in my inner self I completely agree with God's Torah." Since the apostles and disciples of Adonai Yeshua taught and expanded upon his teaching, we may consider their writings to be also part of Torah. Thus, for Messianic believers, Torah consists of the entire body of Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. But are Messianic Gentiles required to adhere to the same standards of Torah as Messianic Jews? This is a most important question, and one which demands a thorough response. Let's begin at the beginning, with Avinu Avraham, our father, the patriarch Abraham. Adonai Elohim knew Avraham would be faithful to his directions, and therefore Jehovah cut a covenant called the Covenant of Faithfulness with Avraham, as we read in Genesis 12, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you, and by you all the families of the earth will be blessed." What a promise this is! How this promise has come to pass. I urge you to focus your attention onto verse 3, as there is a much deeper promise contained which pertains to us today. "And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." I've shared this with you many times, but it does bear repeating. In this promise of blessing, the phrase "will be blessed" in Hebrew is nivrachu, a word used only 3 times in Scripture, and always referring to this promise. Listen to how Rabbi Eliezer, one of the more prolific scribes of rabbinic Mishnah, clarifies this promise. What is meant by the text, "And in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed"? The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Abraham, "I have two goodly shoots to engraft on you, Ruth, the Moabitess, and Naamah, the Ammonitess. All the families of the earth, even the other families who live on the earth, are blessed only for Israel's sake. All the nations of the earth, even the ships that go from Gaul to Spain, are blessed only for Israel's sake." This blessing is the grafting in of the believing among the Goyim, the nations, into believing Israel. This is a fundamental aspect of Rav Shaul's olive tree theology developed in Romans 11. Listen to Shaul's words when contemplating those Gentile believers who displayed arrogance toward Jewish believers then, and those who still do today. "Then don't boast as if you were better than the branches. However, if you do boast, remember that you are not supporting the root. The root is supporting you." We know Messianic Jews are to follow the instructions of Torah, called mitzvot in Hebrew. But what about Messianic Gentiles? Over the centuries, there has been heated debate concerning Torah and who follows what. The basic question is, who is to follow Torah, and how much of Jehovah's life instructions are to be followed? First, it is very clear Jewish believers are to follow Torah. We know this because, as I shared with you earlier, Rav Shaul clearly states, as a Messianic Jewish believer, he is firmly committed to following Torah. If one of the greatest and staunchest upholders of Adonai Yeshua's word follows Torah, why would we not? The First Jerusalem Council, recorded in Acts 15, debated how Gentile believers should follow Torah. Again, I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. Let's focus on verses 19 to 21, wherein we find Yaakov ben Yosef, the brother of Adonai Yeshua, leading. "Therefore, my opinion is that we should not put obstacles in the way of the Goyim, the nations, who are turning to God. Instead, we should write them a letter telling them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. For from the earliest times, Moshe has had in every city those who proclaim him, with his words being read in the synagogues every Shabbat." Notice the two parts of this major instruction. The first consists of what is the minimum entrance requirements for Messianic Gentile believers. We would benefit from unpacking each of these instructions. First, abstain from things polluted by idols. Let me present a scenario to you. Suppose you were invited to a Wicca celebration at which you know some delicious and exciting foods were being served. Would you go? Or at a First Nations spiritual gathering, serving delicious meats and delicacies, would you go, even though you do not follow native spirituality? This is the meaning today of the teaching, abstain from things polluted by idols. As believers, we do not attend functions where idolatrous spirituality is practiced, no matter how enticing the food is. This does not mean we can't enjoy Indian or Chinese food at restaurants, as they are secular in nature. However, if we are following Torah, we would not eat food in a Hindu temple or a Buddhist ashram, as these are places where idolatrous practices are evident. Then we have the injunction against fornication. The Greek term for fornication is porneia, and means a selling of purity of any kind, not just sexual purity. Thus, abstaining from fornication also means staying away from idolatry, or in more conventional terminology, removing ourselves from the standards of behavior of the world. The final injunction is perhaps the most difficult for Messianic Gentile believers, that being abstaining from what is strangled and from blood. What do these instructions mean to us in the 21st century? Clearly, these are references to the laws of kashrut, or the kosher instructions. I must be very clear about this, though, as this injunction has caused Gentile believers to be led astray and attempt to be more Jewish in practice than our rabbinic Jews. We know from Leviticus 17, when someone from the community of Israel or one of the foreigners living with you eats any kind of blood, I will set myself against that person who eats blood and cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. Blood is a life source, and the only way someone may receive atonement for sin. I'll deal with the second part of that statement at a later date, but for now we need to realize how important this instruction is for us all. Our atonement comes from the shed blood of Adonai Yeshua, our Pesach lamb. By deliberately eating foods with congealed blood or dried blood inside, or such dishes as blood pudding, we are in effect mocking Adonai Yeshua's sacrifice for us. These then are the basic instructions for Gentile believers who wish to live a Messianic Jewish lifestyle. But we cannot stop there. For Yaakov said further, Moshe has had in every city those who proclaim him with his words being read in the synagogue every Shabbat. Within these words is the very clear invitation to Messianic Gentile believers to further study the Torah of the living God, Adonai Yeshua, and abide in his teachings through his word. By engaging in such study, listening to the messages each week, engaged in Messianic-based Bible study, and by seeking out the interpretation of his life instructions for us today, we draw closer to and become more intimate with the Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls. Our prayers might be focused on asking the Holy Spirit to enable us to receive revelations through reading his word, through dreams and visions. My question to you this day, beloved, is this where you want to be in your relationship with him? Abba B'Shamayim, our Father in heaven, I pray for guidance for all of us. I pray for strength as we move closer towards a deeper understanding of your Torah, your life instructions to us. Help us, Abba, to come to your life instructions with an open heart, and with a heart that is desiring to please you, with a heart that is desiring to walk on your path. I pray this in your beloved name. Amen.